Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from the Fort McMurray Public School Division and the Fort McMurray Catholic School District as the staggered reentry is now in its second day for schools here in Fort McMurray. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Syncrude spokesperson Will Gibson. And Will, first off, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And you're here to talk about six positive cases with individuals with ties to the site north of Fort McMurray. What information can you share with us right now?
Well, so what I can confirm is Syncrude has six cases involving our organization. These were identified over the past week, and we are focused, first of all, on ensuring that these workers and their families have the support that is required so they can deal with this illness. Our investigation and contact tracing is still ongoing, but we have no information to date that indicates these cases were contracted at our workplace. Syncrude staff, which includes our chief medical officer, are working closely with Alberta Health Services to conduct a tracing for all potential close contacts in these cases. That's underway as part of our response plan. We'd like to thank all of the workers for providing us with important information and following the appropriate protocols and procedures, which include staying at home while they await appropriate testing. It's important to note that people did the right thing, and it's also important to note that nothing we've found so far suggests that this took place at work, in terms of the transmission. And it's also important to remember that the risk of infections occurring in the workplace is low when COVID protocols are followed. And that's something that we've taken very seriously because the safety of people on our sites is the most important priority for us, Jaron.
Mm-hmm. The six individuals, were they all direct employees of Syncrude? Were they all contractors, a mix of both?
My understanding is that they're all Syncrude employees.
Okay. And I guess, I know you mentioned that there is no information right now to suggest that these individuals had contracted the virus at site. Because of that, does that mean that there hasn't been an outbreak? Because I know we've been hearing that as soon as there's five cases, that's when they declare an outbreak. But because you don't have that information right now, there hasn't been an outbreak declared?
Well, I'm not. AHS would be the agency that would, classify that, and that's why we're doing the contact tracing, Jaron. Mm-hmm. But to this point, our understanding is that these cases, all the information to date suggests that they weren't contact, that the transmission didn't take place at the workplace.
Okay. Is anything changing when it comes to operations right now, or is it still as normal as can be?
Well, we're continuing to operate under very rigorous COVID-19 protocols, Jaron, and we're doing that because, that's the safety of the people working at our site is the most important thing. We're following and expect our employees to follow recommended and mandated government measures, such as physical distancing in the workplace, mandatory mask usage while you're moving, and on community buses, or on commuter buses, and ship buses at site. We've implemented health screening and enhanced workplace hygiene and cleaning. We're going to continue to be guided by information provided by experts such as Alberta Health Services. And we've put extensive measures in place if anyone exhibits symptoms while at work, which includes immediate isolation and deep cleaning of their workspace. So that, I don't know if that's what you mean about, but this is, these are things that have been ongoing since March. Mm-hmm. We do not have all of our employees back who have been working from home. So, you know, our site populations continue to be a little lower. We're monitoring the situation. As always, Jaron, we're going to be guided by what expert tells us is the safest course for to ensure the safety of our employees.
For sure. And Will, I guess before I let you go, I know that, like you mentioned before, that Syncrude is working with AHS to do with contact tracing, and they're going to get in contact with any individual who may need to get tested and have to self-isolate. But is there any, if there are, you know, some employees who are maybe a little concerned and want a little bit more information, is there a way they can do that? Is it just contacting their managers? Is there any way that they can get a little bit more information?
So Syncrude has a dedicated team. And we've had a dedicated team in place since the early beginnings of the outbreak. They actively manage our plans to keep people and facilities safe and respond daily. You know, every employee, we have a health and wellness department led by our chief medical officer. You know, people are always, you know, if there's questions, people are always asked to contact their leader. Those answers aren't given, there's also the ability, we have constant communications, including extensive question and answer, where employees and contractors can get the information they need. We always encourage people to talk to their leaders if there's questions that haven't been answered. And we want to make sure, it's not just about making sure that people are kept safe. We want people to go to work and their families, people that go to work on our sites, knowing that they're going to be safe and they'll return home safe at the end of their shift.
Once again, that was Will Gibson, Syncrude spokesperson, talking about six positive COVID-19 cases with ties to their site north of town. All information they have as of right now suggests each individual contracted the virus while off-site. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from the Fort McMurray Public School Division as the staggered reentry is now in its second day.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Syncrude spokesperson Will Gibson, as six individuals with their site north of Fort McMurray have tested positive for COVID-19. All information they have right now suggests each of them contracted the virus while off-site. Now joining me over the phone is Jennifer Turner, who is the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. And Jennifer, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And we're now in day two of the staggered reentry for schools in the community. And just want to have a chat about, the measures that schools are taking to better protect staff and students. But maybe just to start, can you just kind of share with maybe those who aren't too familiar what the staggered reentry is?
Certainly. So staggered entry is a really important part of our reentry plan. As government was making announcements around what would recommendations for health and safety measures be when we re-enter back into the school, we recognize that there is a fairly substantial learning curve about re-entering school for our students and for our staff. When we left school in the middle of March, none of these procedures were in place. We attended school and people had a very good comfort level with what school looked like and felt like. Bringing all of our students back into the system, school looks different. There are new physical safety measures, and there are many, many new procedures that both staff and students are unfamiliar with and need to have an orientation to, direct practice in participating in, and working through those things. That is a very challenging new learning task for our staff and for our students. And we feel that we're going to be in a much better position to offer that direct instruction, orientation to new practices if we have small numbers of students. Our schools are large. We have a lot of students in them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so being able to give our students and our staff the very best opportunity to learn the new procedures of coming into the school, of sanitizing your hands before you come in, of going directly to your classroom, sanitizing your hands before entering the classroom. What does it look like in terms of being in the classroom and in your location in the school? All of those things have been adjusted. And so staggered entry is about providing each grade level opportunity with their homeroom teacher or their day one teacher to be able to understand and learn what are these new safety procedures so that everyone will be safe throughout the school year. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain some of the measures that the division has taken, maybe for those parents who weren't able to attend some of the open houses that have been happening?
Certainly. So there's a number of physical aspects that have changed in the school environment. So offices, libraries, student service areas, not unlike Tim Hortons or the gas station, where you see the plexiglass in the front between service staff and the general public. Our schools also have those very same plexiglass barriers at the office, at the library, where you pick textbooks up, where you pick up or pay your student fees, there is those plexiglass barriers. In addition, we have decals on the floor, very much like the grocery store, which is showing the general traffic flow throughout the building. There are tape lines that divide the hallway in half. Students will be getting some practice staying to the right as they head down the hallway, and that line through the hallway is a visual cue, a visual reminder to make sure that you're providing those things. You're providing individuals in the hallway with space, right, at the adequate space in the hallway. And the other piece that's happening during staggered entry is that not all classes will be in the hallway at the same time. Right, and so we are limiting the number of individuals in the hallway. Students will remain in their classrooms. Teachers will move. So we're reducing the number of people individually within the hallway at a given time. We have plastic barriers actually between all of our sinks in many of our high schools where there are a number of sinks in a row in order to reduce splash and or contact of water between areas. We've got plexiglass dividers there. We have installed countless numbers of touchless water bottle filling stations in our schools so that the high touch place of a water fountain is not necessary. We've got the water bottle filling stations. We'll be asking students to bring their own refillable water, and it's touchless, so you don't have to have any contact there. Mm-hmm. There's also controlled entry at all of our buildings so that any visitor, any individuals coming in are signing in. They're providing their phone number for contact tracing. They're required to wear a mask before they enter the building. And there's sanitizing stations at the doorway of every classroom and at the main entrances of our schools. So prior to arriving in the school, people will be sanitizing. Before you enter a class, you sanitize. A substantial investment that the Board of Education has made is adding day custodians to every school in FNPSD. And so that was a substantial financial and budgetary consideration that was made by our Board of Education. And so every school has a day custodian to ensure regular high-frequency, high-touch places are being looked at throughout the day, in addition to evening sanitation processes. Another change that we've done is actually in order to allow the sanitation processes that need to occur between each school day, we have limited access of our buildings in the evening and on weekends to all staff or students, with the exception of our custodial staff. Again, allowing adequate time for that sanitation practice to occur.
Once again, that was Jennifer Turner, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Public School Division. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from the Fort McMurray Public School Division as they were talking about measures that are in place for the return to school as the staggered reentry is now in its second day. Now joining me over the phone is George McWiggin, who is the superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. And George, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And we just heard from the public school division about the measures that are being taken with students going to classes one day this week through the staggered reentry, where they can learn all these different COVID-19 measures. I guess, in your opinion, is this one day, you know, enough for students to learn everything they need to know to make sure that themselves and staff are as safe as possible from the virus?
Will it be as a one day? It's going to be a very good, strong, focused introduction. But no, Jaron, one day will not suffice. This is something that we'll be practicing throughout the entire school year, with reminders. In any good teaching, when a teacher's in the classroom and you're teaching, you always build into your learning schedule reviews. It's a common occurrence in curriculum. You go back and you review materials every so often, and we'll be doing that on a regular basis in the classroom, on announcements, etc. So to make sure that we keep it front of mind for everybody. It's going to require constant reminders, not just from ourselves in the school, but parents at home with their children, community at large. We always have to keep the conversation going and keep reminding people so that that's when you're able to develop the habit.
And George, we have just a little bit of time left, and mental health, it's a topic that I don't think is getting enough attention right now, especially here in Fort McMurray, as yes, we are dealing with the pandemic just like the rest of the world, but we also had a devastating flood as well, which impacted a couple schools across the community, including Father Turcotte. And I guess, what kind of mental health supports are going to be available for students and staff this year? Is there going to be any changes because of COVID? What can people expect?
Sure. I mean, just to back that up, Jaron, from what you're saying, you know, let's take it back to 2016. I mean, what a community we live in and have been living in. Talk about being able to be resilient and tough. That's who Fort McMurray residents are. When you go back to the wildfire 2016, since that time, we've increased our mental health resources in the schools and training with teachers, additional counselors, mental health therapists, etc., and working with the community agencies. We've put in place since 2016. We've applied for more grants, so we've increased again our counseling, etc. So we get hit with that, and we're getting ourselves back on our feet, and then we get hit with the flood, and that set us back. And the one thing in this whole scenario that people kind of maybe are forgetting a little bit about is that our economy was not very good before the wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
So we were already in a tough state, and families were in a tough state. Maybe one of the family members had lost their job, and times are tough, and so that creates a lot of mental stress on families as well. So you have to put all three of those things together, and then you add in the pandemic on top of that now. So it's creating quite a time of stress for all of us in this community. But the one thing that I think I'm proud of this community as our home is we always seem to rally together and help each other out when times get tough. And we've been able to increase our resources. This week, we've got training sessions going on with our teachers on mental health supports and how to support the children in the classroom when they return to school and connecting with families and having meetings with families, etc. Like I said, as well, we've increased our human resource supports with mental health therapists, additional counselors, and things like that. So it's a focus for us, and I think it's been a focus for us for a while. So I think we may have a jump in that perhaps to other school divisions that are really looking at that now just because of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
where we have had it as a focus since before the wildfire with our economy in the tank, then the wildfire, then the flood, then the pandemic. So I think we're in good shape there, and we'll continue to use those resources to the best of our ability.
Once again, that was George McGuigan, superintendent of the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. If you're looking for more information about the staggered reentry and a full schedule for the remaining 2 days, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.